Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Thanks for Trying podcast, season 3. Episode 8. This is part 2 of me, Corin, the last skeptic, sitting opposite a table with Ben Bailey Smith, Doc Brown, comedian extraordinaire. If you haven't heard part 1, what are you doing with your life? Unless you're trying to do some kind of podcast memento game, then fine, live it all in reverse. Do you, okay? I'm not going to stop your happiness. I'm not going to shame you. It is also the last episode of the season. Yeah, I know. It's a short season. I got other shit to do. I'm sorry about that. There'll probably be more podcasts later in the year. Maybe. Who knows? But if not, thank you. So thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you for all of the lovely messages about my brand new album, See You in the Next Life. See? You thought I wasn't going to mention it. And then I did. It's out now, by the way, just because you were asking. And thank you to everyone for hitting me up about this podcast, this new season. If you haven't done already, shout me. It's lovely to hear from you. Otherwise, I'm just here in my room looking into the corner of my room. I know I'm doing this in the studio. I'm looking at things. I see my deodorant. I see some cotton buds. And I'm here just all lonely. So hit me up. And if you like the show, go rate it. Go talk about it. Thank you to Doc Brown. Thank you to all of my wonderful guests this season. You have all been fucking fantastic. And thank you to whatever booze sponsor gave me drinks for this episode. Because, I don't know, I can't fucking remember. Big love.
But yeah, no,
small it's, world though, isn't it? You know, you got to be careful.
Yeah, you got to be super careful.
But some people should get this. Like,
I think some people.
I think people who are just like they've done their job like poorly.
Yeah, come forward a bit. If you want
I don't think they necessarily should be this.
No,
you know
no.
I mean? Because we're all doing the same job. We're all entertainers, and sometimes we're going to get it wrong. Right? We're going to be shit.
We do,
and we got to be open to criticism. I don't think we should criticize each other.
No,
unless we feel like there's an entertainer who is like willfully doing some shit that is fucking negative, man. Do you know what I mean? I think they should be open to criticism from their peers.
I think so too.
But you know, I think Morrissey, but if someone
you,
like that,
yeah. And if you, but if you know them personally, go to them first before you do it publicly.
Because
I think that's
that
like a rule of thumb.
Shit,
that's some
it,
weak
like,
shit.
Diss them when you like you maybe even got like a little benefit from being associated with them or
oh it's cold man
yeah
I've had like I've recently had two people in my life that I was really cool with just drop out. Have you ever had that before?
Drop out, what do you mean?
Just drop out of my life. Like not ghosting because it's not ghosting. I guess it is, but it's not in terms of people I was dating or romantically involved with. Just two friends separately, don't know each other. So, but literally just, you know, gone.
And you don't
people
know.
That I was friends with for a year, no explanation. When I've asked what's going on, no response.
Yeah, mate,
and I'm like,
I'm not sure.
Two separate people. I'm like, wow, what have I done? You know, could it have been the things I stole from their house? You know, I don't know.
Well, I guess, you know, there's fair weather friends as well.
Fair weather friends.
There's lots. I've probably been guilty of this. Definitely when I was, you know, a slightly different person a few years back where I was way more of a people pleaser. Mm. I think I definitely had relationships with men who...
The cock and balls angle.
Who I treated in a way like you would a short relationship with a woman.
Yeah.
I don't
mean
anything sexual or anything like that. But you know when you're like... enamored by a man and what he's doing
of
at
course.
The moment, whether he's you know an artist and his art is really cool, or whether he's just a really fun person to be around or something like that, and you sort of not obsessed but like oh, I'm going to go, I'm out with this guy again. Yeah. I'm out with this guy again. This,
yeah,
and
yeah,
that,
yeah.
That is short lived.
And it's lovely and it's really fun.
It's great.
And you're like, I want
to
see
when it comes to an end, it can be quite abrupt. So I wonder if it's that kind of vibe. I don't know.
No,
I
true. One of them definitely was a really good pal. And then all of a sudden it just is not there. And it's weird.
It's interesting.
For like a year. You're messaging someone every single day and then there's no explanation. And you just think, are they a clout chaser? Perhaps. Who knows? Welcome to the Thanks for Trying podcast. We just had a 7-day piss break. This is unheard of. It was really long.
I pissed so long that a worm came out.
I went back to the shower. That was the cliffhanger. I went back to the shower every day since looking for my lost worm. And I found him. I actually found him in the garden through the drains. He's got a nice family now.
Is his name Wiggly Woo?
Wiggly Woo. He's a rapper. He's the rapper in the late 90s that would just at the back of the cypher, he would be there going woo.
Do you still listen to rap?
Yeah, I do. My own
rap. No, it fascinates me because obviously you've become a rapper. You've always been a rap fan, but I think when you become a rapper, you do you have like a short shrift for rappers all of a sudden.
Yeah. I think I always did because I always worked with rappers. So I knew when a rapper was shit and I was so like cognizant, I don't know. I've had a few drinks. I was so aware all the time.
Yeah, you're kind of switched on
to know when someone's fucking dry.
Yeah.
But now I think like I can look at certain rappers and know, even though lyrically they're not great, I can look at the voice and go, that is fucking, that is.
Well, they've got like there's a swag about them.
Yeah. Like I still, you know, listen to, like one of my most listened to songs of the year, because I've told you about it constantly, it was Palmolive by Freddie Gibbs and Madlib featuring Pusha T, because I always thought
that
Pusha T versus to me is one of the best rap verses of all time.
Something about that guy, man.
There's something about him, man, that like I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, I mean, this dude's in his mid-40s.
Yeah,
you know, he's had a career, a very respectable career.
Yeah, very.
He a bit like a sort of modern day MOP or Mobb Deep. He hasn't really shifted.
He hasn't
thematically.
He hasn't done anything different, but except he's gotten more forthright with the way he does it. So, so early on, if you listen to clips, amazing. The first two clips albums, my god!
Yeah. But his verses now, to me, a 16-bar verse by Pusha now is like four hooks.
Mm.
It's like four bar hooks.
Everything he's saying is so clear.
You know,
the real bars are the ill bars. These scars are the only real proof they couldn't kill guards.
Mm.
That's nuts.
There's an intensity to it that you're just like, yeah, I'm in.
Sold.
And it's funny because I've got loads of friends who, you know, I respect them and their tastes and whatnot, but we just can't seem to agree on Pusha. Yeah. They're just like, they just don't buy him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, fair enough. But fair for me,
but he's the rapper's rapper, man.
Yeah, he really is. And he's really repping it for the old rappers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, big time.
Because I think there's not a young rapper who doesn't respect Pusha T.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what about like English dudes? Who are your guys?
Oh, man. There's so many amazing artists, rappers.
Because can I tell you something? I only listen to British rappers now.
Yeah, me too.
Outside
to be honest,
Pusha
yeah.
and probably Corday, I don't really listen to American
rappers.
I did
like that Corday album, actually. I really like the Brock, for talking about US, Brockhampton, I really liked.
I've not heard.
I thought as a group, they're fucking
they're a group?
Sick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brockhampton,
like they're really sick. Obviously, Tyler's great. His album was amazing.
You know what's pushed on me every day by different areas of the rap community is... thingy shot in the cheek guy,
Conway
and all his guys.
They're
good, but they don't. Their music's not very accessible,
right? Right.
They don't make hooks like they don't. They just don't care.
No, it's great because it's like,
which is cool because it's grimy and stuff. But it's like one in for me with them guys is like one in ten songs. Right. I'm like, yeah, wicked, but it's a hard listen.
Right, okay.
And I just listen to is British guys. Yeah, I British never guys thought are I would great. See that day.
Like, I listen to, at the moment, the only song I listen to on loop that's not my own is Professor X by Dave. I fucking love that tune. I think, like, Dave is someone that...
Bro, I was listening to Dave when I walked up here.
Yeah, I love... I think I he's so good.
I was listening
to
Psychodrama when I was listening here.
And Psychodrama is an album that took a while to grow on me, but now I'm there and I'm
fucking
love it. Well, my
brother will tell you, shout out Luke Skies.
Big up, Luke.
He was... on me hard because I was going, nah, Psychodrama. It's like, all right, production. There's a couple tunes. He was like, dude, listen to it again.
It's a grower. Listen to it again. That's why it's such a good record.
And I'd listen to it twice and then put it aside.
Yeah.
And then I'll hold my hands up. He won the Mercury and I thought, all right, let me listen. Come on, let me listen. My brother keeps saying, listen to it again. I haven't listened to anything as much since. Yeah. Like, I know that album inside out. And he is very dope. And actually, I'm sorry to all the producers on that album because the production's actually is fine.
But that's the thing. It's fine. It's okay.
It's not amazing.
It's not amazing. But it's not
what I thought it was, which was bland and shit. It's not that.
Exactly. It will do it. But the star of the show is him. And that's
he's amazing. And in a way, shouldn't the production be just fine if the rapper's that good?
But you know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for the moment within this scene that we get someone that blend, you know, the gangstar,
the moment
of truth gangstar, you know, where the beats and everything just links and it's like, not the new gangstar, the moment of truth gangstar. I didn't like the new album, man.
I know, and we've spoken about this on text. And it is so hard to say because Premier is a legend, Guru is a legend, Gangstar are so important to me individually. I've got in my office, I've got a picture of me and Guru and Gangstar in 98. Wow. I met them when they were doing the Moment of Truth signings in New York in 98. You know, they're so important to me and everything to do with my upbringing. But there's no way to deny that this new album is... offcuts. I mean, you can tell even by the timing of it. Premier's probably about like, I've got all these verse. They're not great. They've got bits and pieces. Yeah. Could put it together.
Oh, I know.
For me, it's like the Big Picture all over again. You know, remember the Big L album? Like Big L, absolute legend. Big Picture had its moments.
It had its moments, yeah.
You know, you can't... without the artist there, you just can't...
No. I know.
You're never going to match the magic.
The only one for me that of those that worked was Are You Still Down by Tupac, the double CD, because that's a great shout. I loved that record.
That's a great shout. But Tupac is incomparable because of the volume of work.
He recorded so much that all you needed was
in
right tempo.
In his prime, he was recording so much.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, no disrespect to Guru or Big L. Like, they're fucking amazing. They're legends. And rest in peace to both of them. But... you know, I'll put my fucking house on that they weren't making, they weren't writing and recording raps with the frequency that Tupac was.
No way. Without a doubt.
Yeah. This guy was on a different planet.
So obviously
we're scraping the barrel now with Tupac stuff. But for a good long period after
people making records out of his ad libs, can you turn my headphones up? We got a brand new joint for Tupac. Can you turn my headphones up, please?
Yo, turn it up.
Let me take a break. I need to go to the toilet.
Little more synth on the track there.
Imagine.
That's a little more synth on the track there from Tupac Shakur.
What's the time? I gotta pick up my kids. That's the brand new record by Tupac. It's called What's the time? What's the time, Mr. Engineer? I gotta pick up my kids from school.
I'm on the school run.
Tupac, as everyone knows, fans of the podcast will know.
I should shout out my brother Luke Skies because he was like, and still is. Like, Tupac was always his guy, and you know, if you're not into Tupac from the ground up, he's quite a hard one to get. His stuff's so dense,
and it's related to emotion.
It's so dense and intense.
Yeah, it's related to emotion.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, if, you know, Biggie fans, it's because you grew up and Biggie was who you related to.
Biggie's an easy in.
Yeah,
Biggie's an easy in. The flow is deceptively simple. Mm. It's funny. It's humorous. It's like watching a short film when you have Biggie. It's like a short comic film. Here's your hustler. Here's the position. It's very black and white. It's tab A into slot B. Mm. And that's not to disrespect Biggie. What he did was amazing. Yeah. And that's why he's so massive, because he was able to just touch everyone. You don't need to explain Biggie.
Yeah, of course.
Whereas with Tupac, it's like, you got to fucking just sit down for a minute. Take your coat off. Just sit for a minute with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot going on with Pac.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's true.
And you can actually find humor in his work as well, but it's just, you've got to work harder.
Yeah.
And people just haven't got that patience.
Yeah.
I watched the movie last night. Was it last night? Where are we? Saturday. Yeah. Night before last, called Magnolia.
Oh.
And I'd never seen it.
I'd still never seen it, but people ripped it to shreds, right?
Dude, it's one of the best films I've ever seen.
No.
And when I
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Wow.
In a career best performance.
No.
Hands down.
Okay, well, I need to see this.
Hands down.
People slated it.
It's one of the best films I've ever seen, bro.
Wow.
I'd never seen it, and I heard things about it, and I'm always interested by art that polarizes, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Half the people are going, it's amazing. Half the people are going, it's terrible.
Yeah, Shawshank did that when it came out. People hated Shawshank. Critics hated it. So it's the same
Magnolia
shit.
Magnolia is unreal. And what I realized when I got to the end was like, of course this wasn't a huge hit.
Yeah.
Like the patience that you need and the maturity that you need to appreciate Magnolia is very similar to what you need to really take Tupac on board.
Yeah.
You know, and not go, oh God, what's he talking about? Oh, yeah. Why isn't he doesn't rap on beat all the time. Like, how come his verses aren't like 3/16s? And do you know what I mean? Magnolia is going, what if there's just a fucking stream of consciousness. Let's just see where it takes us. And it's like Tupac in a movie.
Wow.
Magnolia. It's all about emotion.
Fuck.
Yeah. That movie is basically, if I could put it in a nutshell, it's about regret. It's about what happens when you get to the end of your life and you're one of two people. You're either that person who goes, you know what, I've got fucking so many regrets and I'm going to use the end of my life to make amends. Or are you that person who goes, no regrets?
Yeah.
You know? And it's one of the most human things I've ever seen.
I need to see it, man. Like, and that's testament to the fact that what you did, you switched from rap to acting, you know, to comedy, you know, I've said fuck it all a year ago. I'm fucking rapping. Like, it's testament to both of us and to anyone that's at home, you know, thinking should I or should I not quit my fucking day job and go make, you know, become a fucking millinery? Yeah, make hats.
Make hats.
If that's what you want to do, make hats. Not make cats. You can't make cats. Make hats. Well, I mean, you could make cats. I don't know.
Make twins the other day? Or they got close to making twins.
No way.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, just you can make twins. Twilliner. I don't know.
Twilliner.
Just do whatever the fuck you want to do. Just fucking do it. You know what? I take it back. Make cats. You know what?
I take it back.
If you want to fucking make some cats.
Make cats.
Make some fucking cats. Just fucking do it.
Make cats be a killer. It feels like a Pusha T. It feels like a Pusha T. Yo, I'm making them cats. I'll be a killer. Making them hats. I'll be a milliner.
Whoa. Making them twins. I'll be a twilliner.
Yuck.
Yuck.
On my way back to Virginia.
Virginia.
We've had a few drinks. Oh, we haven't had our shots.
No, sorry. Okay, there you go. This is the tradition, the Thanks for Trying tradition. We're having a shot.
Cool. Boom.
Patron. Oh, it's a bit too big, that shot.
It's a big shot.
It was a good
one. It's a big shot.
Because, you know, it was like a shower bath of a cup. It was like a really wide bottom
needed
basin.
A worm in the bottom.
They needed a worm in the bottom.
You still friends with Patron?
Shout out to Patron for sending the bottle of Patron. So,
oh, cool.
Thank you. You know what I should do now? There's the little thing that comes on the side of it. I think I should cherry pick some things in the side of it to describe to you where it's from.
Oh, that was a big shot.
Is there any kind of emotion that you want me to read this in? Like, give me some direction. Give me like, you know, I'm, you know, who am I? What's my motivation?
Okay, so you're not one of the main characters, but you're one of the onlookers in a Ken Loach movie.
Oh,
so it's,
wow.
It's like an emotional scene. things are falling apart.
Okay, I'm trying to get into character. Usually, this is what happens when I'm acting. I get into character. It takes me a second. Okay. Patron Silver tequila is crafted from the highest quality, 100% vapor blue agave. I feel like this should be more normal, more northern. more northern than this. The cooked agave is then crushed, fermented, and twice distilled in small batches. I don't know, where's that from?
Where's this guy from?
Where's he from? I don't know. There's people at home.
Patron Silver's crisp, clean test with notes of citrus and cooked agave. What the fuck is agave? Can be enjoyed straight, as we just
agave.
On the rocks, no rocks.
Marcus agave.
Or mixed to enhance any cocktail. I'll tell you what, in Cleethorpes, they'd call that a bottle of fucking piss.
So shout out to the bathworm. But you know what? This is one thing. Yeah, this is a podcast that we never did together, but I really wanted to do. And since we're acting now, look, okay. We're both professional actors now. I haven't explained to them. But you know what? By the time this is out, I might even be on your TVs.
You were in the background of thing you texted me.
Yeah, I did it. I did my first.
Was it Stephen Graham? No.
No, Robert Carlyle.
Robert Carlyle, that's it.
I was in the background of a Robert Carlyle thing.
I know it was a short, aggressive British working class actor.
I was in the background of a TV show called Cobra that should be on Sky at some point soon.
What's the deal with that?
I hope, who knows? I hope it'll be out by the time. It's like a dystopian future. You know, maybe I shouldn't say too much just in case it's not out, but I was one of 300 extras and they turned around and gave me a role. And so there's, you know, unless I got edited out because I was just too damn handsome, then you know what?
I'm guessing you had facial hair.
No. I'm about this length, yeah. About this length of
face.
That's
enough, to make your face that
just the edge.
It was tiny bit more interesting.
You know what? It was great. And when I called up Ed and I texted you, two people that I trust very much and know about filming and acting. And, you know, and Ed said, you know what? They saw you as soon as you walked in. And that's, there's 300 extras. And I was like, because I was so confused why they picked me. Mm. But I was like, I guess I was the only one that had been to catering 4 times in 6 hours, you know? And that's why. I'm only here for the catering 4 times. And I was midway through eating some salmon when they came up to me and said, actually, you've got a role for you.
Had a whole salmon fillet in your beard like Dan Aykroyd.
You know what I mean? I'm not even joking. And literally, it was like eating the salmon and then we've got a role for you. I looked both ways and there was 300 extras and I was like, but why? And then I go, okay, look, I'll do it. But can you write my name on this box to make sure no one takes it? And they got a runner to write my name or to write, do not remove.
That's when you've arrived.
That's when I've arrived.
That's when you've
arrived.
Do
not remove on my fucking catering. And they put it to the side and they saved it for me after I did my big fucking move. Three cameras.
That's when you fucking arrived.
300 extras. Oh, I did my piece. I'm not going to even say anymore just in case.
We should shout out Ed Skrein.
Shout out Ed Skrein. Always. He gets always gets a shout out.
Shout him out every time.
Every time.
What a legend.
Shout him out. And you know what? Shout out Ryan Reynolds too, because we never shout him out anymore. We always used to shout out regular listener Ryan Reynolds. And you know, I feel maybe he's dropped off, maybe he's unsubscribed on iTunes because he hasn't had a shout out.
He's one of the funniest motherfuckers.
Yeah.
That dude is funny as a motherfucker.
He's funny,
like his,
man.
Like his energy is funny. Like, do you ever see those adverts he did?
Yeah, I saw all the adverts.
Hilarious.
If Ryan Reynolds is in it.
He did two adverts. He did one for gin.
Yeah.
And he did one for...
No, it's his gin.
Oh, that's his gin. Yeah. Okay. That's fucking hilarious.
Love that.
He did another ad. Was it for a credit card? I don't know what it was. We were signing people's... He was signing autographs, and he's fucking off the autographs. He's talking to the camera, and he just ends up like signing people's like faces. He's just like drawing lines. He's a very funny man.
He's fun, and he, look, because he's...
But it's a weird renaissance with him, right? Because if you look back at his career... Mm.
But no, he was always funny.
It's a little corny shit.
No,
right?
But I loved all of the corny shit. I loved the rom-coms. Shout out to Ryan Reynolds, regular listener of the show. Like, thank you. Thank you for providing films such as The Proposal. And definitely maybe two of my favorite rom-coms of all time. You know what? Well, we're going to go straight into the net with other segments. Why am I making things sound like I'm editing myself badly?
I don't know. Maybe you'll edit it badly afterwards.
Maybe. And I've just given myself a future get out of it. This is the segment that's just essentially just lots of smaller segments I couldn't finish but piece together. Because I haven't asked you any. No, you did do the segments last time, didn't you? You did Under the Patio.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. I asked you what creature from film or TV you would eat. You already asked you that.
That was
The last film that made you cry.
I was a bit shit in Under the Patio. I can't remember.
Oh, we're going to go back into Hollywood that, don't worry.
Was funny.
Okay, if your friends and family were zombies, who would be the first one you'd take out?
New questions, baby.
Wow. Season three, bitches.
That's a really fucked up question.
Of course it is, because I said friends and family, so you don't have to mention the family. If you just want to say friends, like, because also, you know, I've had people say brothers, sisters, because some people say, like, so I had someone say Jam Supernova say a brother, because, you know, he's always pissed her off, you know, in a jokey brotherly way. And I had Asim Chowdhury, also regular of the Thanks Trying podcast, say mum, to take her out of the misery very quickly.
Oh, okay.
So you that's know quite you nice. Can, yeah, it can yeah. be either one, it can be either side of the spectrum.
Wow, that's really tough.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who would be terrifying zombie.
It's also situational, because you might be in your house and people are infected. Your family might be safe inside, but your neighbors might be the first one infected. And you might be like, okay, situational, fucking Billy next door. He's got to go.
Yeah. Oh, that's really tough.
Yeah, for you.
Oh, I don't know. Like, if someone just turns zombie, I mean, you've got to take them out, whoever they are. I mean, if the infection started, like if the worm bit you and then you were the zombie and I had to fucking turn the shotgun on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Big up the worm, man. Big up the worm. You know what? The more time passes, the more I actually feel enamored by the worm, you know? The more I feel actually... Big up the worm, man. Like, just wriggling around.
How did he get in
my bathroom or inside me? That's you know, the quandary, if anything. Were you inside me, worm? But how would I have known? Pick it up? You know? Have a bite? Have a lick? You know? How would I know?
It'd be great if, like...
This is really tough.
It'd be great if, like, the somebody who got bit was, like, somebody who you always fucking wanted to take out. Like, if Michael Bay got bit and he was just there.
Right. Not Michael Bay over, what, Bryan Singer? Both of them.
Oh, both of them together and McG.
Yeah.
All in the same room.
Why is his name McG? I hate it. Why is your name McG, bruv? I mean, look, we both have silly stage names, so I understand.
McG, though.
But McG is a different level of silly.
You just need a
That's
slap
like
in the
Floobity Floop, the MC killer. No. Why is his name Floobity Floop, bro?
Oh, dear. Yeah, I'd love to take those guys out and have no repercussions.
Fine.
I feel like a few of those have been making movies as zombies anyway.
Recently. Am I right? I think then it's totally fine to take
Satire.
Them out.
Come on, guys.
Speaking of movies, what would be the tagline of your biopic? And you might recognize this question from the segment as one you made up. So I think you...
Well, what?
And I came around your house and asked you for ideas.
Jesus.
So if you don't have an answer for this, you're fucking slipping, bro.
So this is... the subtitle of the biopic title?
This is the tagline. The tagline, like, you know... Die Hard 2 with a vengeance, and then underneath it's like, it's not a fucking tower, but shit, he's still sad.
Right, okay.
That's not the tagline. Die Hard 2. Is he still sad in Die Hard 2? I don't know. He probably is.
Something about hairy backs. If there's anything I hate about me and my story, it's hair on my back.
Oh, look, same, bro. Preaching to the choir.
You know, my wife got the laser treatment on her legs.
Did it work?
She never has to shave her legs ever again. God.
Wow.
I'm really thinking about getting that for my back, but it's not cheap, bro.
Also, my quandary with that is that...
you're fucking with God. I mean, that is... You're fucking with that's
God.
That's an element.
God made us lichens. They made us lichens. For those that don't know, that's a technical term for a werewolf.
And can we just shout out to all the mixed race motherfuckers out there as well? Because, I mean, I'm not including you in this as well, because your genetic makeup is
I'm
out
a mongrel.
It's out there, right?
Yeah,
it's a bit wacky. We're both mongrels.
It's a bit wacky.
If an individual we didn't know stepped in this room, they go, that's a mixed race bear and a white bear, right? Yeah, that's not quite the full story.
Right?
And there's something about, I don't know what it is.
Why are we hairy?
But there's something about when you start fucking up the gene pool, for some reason.
I just don't get it.
You look at some of these Hollywood motherfuckers, Tom Cruise and Ryan Reynolds, shout out Ryan Reynolds.
Big up Ryan Reynolds, regular listener. I love him.
But they're the white guys who've got like this like solid white guy thing where that you know their butt cheeks are going to be like a baby's ass, right?
If you wanted to eat sorbet off of their butt cheeks, in a non-sexual capacity,
I'm not questioning that.
You could do it.
Having all of that
in a fucking heartbeat. Sushi.
I'm eating all of that. I'm taking a Mackie roll off of Ryan Reynolds' right butt cheek all day long.
You could eat some.
It's not sexual.
Fuck.
I just know it's clean.
You could eat some noodle. Not the soup. Maybe not the soup.
Not the soup.
But you could probably eat the noodle, the rice noodles from the soup off of Ryan. Yeah. Shout out Ryan Reynolds, regular listener.
Shout out Ryan Reynolds, right butt cheek, regular listener. When you're getting into these London motherfuckers, and I know there's some international listeners that big you up, yeah?
Big but you up.
If you don't know about big London, we've been fucking each other for a long time, right? So if I meet a motherfucker across North London, like the last skeptic, and he looks white, I'm not making conclusions straight away.
There's no conclusions. You can't.
Especially if I see excess body hair.
Oh, the hair is unruly.
It's crazy, right?
Gotta get, I'm a 2019 male.
When you're like me and you're like half and half, right? It's mad because you look at black people that you're blood related to, right? No removal. You're blood related to them by one person. That's the distance.
Yeah.
And they are hairless.
How are you hairless?
Yeah. And then you look at your white family and you're removed from them, blood removed from them by one person and they're hairless.
Yeah.
And then you look at your ass.
Yeah.
And it looks like fucking the Jackson 5 combined over two peaches.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
What's happened?
Oh yeah,
it's between these two hairless.
Oh man, I don't know.
Races. Why have I got this? I don't understand it.
My back looks like a bat has flown into it and just died.
And you know what? And my wife always says, "Hey, you know what? I like it. That's all that matters."
No, that's lovely.
And that is really that lovely. That is true in some ways.
That's true insanity. Because why'd you love this?
It's true in some ways. And it's a beautiful thing. I don't want to appeal to any other women. Fuck other women. Fine. I don't care. Fine. I don't want to appeal to them.
Yeah.
But there is the little element of how you feel about yourself.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, it's not about anything else.
I don't like the hair on my back.
I don't like it. Every 6 weeks wax.
I hate it.
Every 6 weeks. But problem,
imagine if you never had to do that. Is it worth maybe paying the money that she paid for her legs?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it is. I think it is, because look at fucking big old Hemsworth. You know, he's out there being four. He ain't got body hair. He doesn't know what body hair is.
Also, you know, my job, I'm an actor, right? Anytime I've ever had to do stuff where I've had to be topless, the thing that I just finished before I jumped on this thing, The Split, which will start in 2020. Yeah. There's a scene where I'm like, you know, naked.
Whoa.
Not fully naked. I mean, you don't see the Carrie Fisher hanging cock and balls. I'm supposed to be naked.
Yeah.
So you see most of me.
Okay.
And the day before that, waxed straight up. Of bang. Course. I got everything off the back.
Yeah.
And that says something, right?
Yeah.
Because that says to me, like, I'm uncomfortable with that being seen.
Yeah.
So I'm throwing something out there that's kind of an untruth about my body. One thing I will say for myself, I don't fucking work out and shit for that scene.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do that shit. I'm just going to say that right now, yeah? Like, the part nothing about the part said this guy is ripped.
Great.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy goes gym.
Yeah.
But let me just say this now. And there's actors that I fucking respect. There's people that I know that me and you both know.
Mm.
I fucking respect them, all of that stuff. Yeah. Mm. But if they saw he gets out of bed and he's naked, they're getting fucking ripped.
Yeah.
But they're getting ripped, bro. Definitely. Regardless of who their character is.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
My character in this is like some fucking wastrel, like coke addict guy. Yeah. Like, he's a fucking prick, right?
So if anything, I should eat more cream cakes
before this. I mean, I'm not saying I wanted to be there looking fat.
No.
But at the same time, I was like, why should he be ripped? Because all that's really saying is you want to look.
And there's something about body positivity. For the gifts that are gonna... Yeah, there's something about body positivity anyway, where the more that we feel comfortable within ourselves, it the better. You know, the more that we look at ourselves in the mirror and go, you know what? Okay, lumps and bumps, but I'm happy, and this is the way I should look.
Yeah.
And I think that's very encouraging and really nice.
Yeah,
but
lovely.
And also, you can also say, actually, I'd like to go to the gym as a separate point. That's not, I need to go to the gym because I'm embarrassed about myself.
Yeah.
And I think that's also totally, completely fine.
Sure. I guess there's something weird going on, I think, when as soon as you see that in a script, you think...
No, but that's so normal, bro. Like, even before I go on stage, I'm like, I need to lose weight before I go on stage. Or okay, I'm shooting a music video.
I have that. Yeah.
And that's with a shirt on. Yeah, yeah. Like, I looked a bit too fat. Like, I need to do that. Like, and I think you're always constantly checking yourself. But when it's become... a point of making you depressed, that's when it's an issue.
Yeah, that isn't, that's
and like,
a worry.
And that's the same with body hair, is that when I know that it's popping out my shirt because I'm, you know,
I hate the body,
you know,
hair
my
thing.
Back looks like Burt Reynolds, you know what I mean? Then I need to fucking deal with that.
Yeah.
And I think, big up us as 2019 males by going, you know what? That back in the day in school, and this is not said in a slur way, but as an example of what the 90s, early 2000s were like.
Mm-hmm.
If you got admitted to getting anything waxed as a man, the slur that would come to you would be gay. People would be like, are you gay, bruv? And that would be the main thing. But now I think it is a wonderful time that we can just admit out loud. And I would say it to anybody. Oh, yeah, I fucking get it waxed. Like, fuck yeah, because I wouldn't. Girls honestly don't give a shit. But for me, I feel way more confident. Way more confident if I've got a nice smooth back. I know
if I'm
swimming, I'm more aerodynamic. You know, I feel way better about it.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's fair enough. I suppose I guess you're right.
I want someone to eat Mackie off my back.
I'm being a bit fascist. I guess it is down to what the individual feels makes them stronger.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, fair point. That's a really interesting thing you said about gay, though, because I think we're from an era, I know I'm older than you, but we're still from that era where when we were at school, like, gay meant shit.
Oh, yeah, that was the...
That's quite fucked up.
It's crazy, isn't it?
That's
crazy.
That's so mad, isn't it?
Obviously, we're not in school, but, you know, I wonder if it's changed at all. I wonder if, like... You know, for TV tells us different, where it's more accepted.
I would say 100% it's changed. Wow. But I have an authority because I've got children.
Of course.
And my children are 11 and 14. So like, I'm right in the midst of seeing what the schoolyard talk is about. And for those guys, they don't understand. They don't understand racism. They don't understand gay slurs. You have to fucking explain it to them. Because they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. In fact, my elder daughter, her school, in her year, there's a transgender kid.
Wow.
Yeah, which is a big fucking deal because she's at a girls' school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's actually huge.
Yeah, of course.
And the way they deal with it is so fucking open-minded. Like, I can't imagine it at my school. Mm.
Oh my God, you'd hear every day.
All the time, every day.
Every day.
I had it thrown at me because I was into English.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I wasn't even good. I'm writing a book right now about this kid who's not into anything but English. And it's the one thing that I've taken from my life that I've put into this character.
You know what the wildest thing was?
Wow.
Oi, bruv. I see you talking to girls a lot. You're fucking gay. Well, you hang out with girls
hanging
all the time.
Hanging out with girls, yeah.
But you got girls as your best friend, bro.
You should
you're
be hanging
gay.
Out with us, man.
You should be hanging out with guys.
You should be hanging out with men.
Oi, fam.
You should be hanging out with men in changing rooms.
In changing rooms, naked. That's what you should be doing, bro. Where is this cognitive dissonance?
So
you know what?
Weird, isn't it?
I blame the Tories. So the next section. Oh, it's true though, honestly.
You
because
just edit
Tory,
that on the end
it's
of
true.
Every section.
I'm
going to
put
chat.
It on it. I'm going to edit the two things in the end of every section. I blame the Tories.
If, your family became zombies. I blame the Tories.
I blame the Tories and shout out Ryan Reynolds, regular listener.
Shout out Ryan Reynolds every time. Regular, Edwin.
Every pick up Edwin. I love that most people, whenever you say Edwin, they think it's a person as well. That's why I love that. Big up Edwin. Oh, I love that time where I was falling off a cliff and Edwin held his hand out and grabbed me and brought me up over the cliff. This section, some people might know as Under the Patio. And I'm not going to lie, there's no other names for it. So that's probably what everyone knows it as.
I think it's a good name.
Under the Patio. Okay, here we go. There's a couple of good ones here. Bit drunk now, bit drunk.
Just a tad.
Just a tad. People who... This is relevant. This is tailored to you.
Okay.
People who stand in the front row of your gig and then text or talk.
Oh.
You know it because I've been there performing with you when they do.
We were together when we were in Nottingham.
Oh my God.
And there was a guy who, if you're from the era of like Doc Brown and Last Skeptic UK rap, you'll know the fucking guy.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a guy who claims to love hip hop and rah, 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 and he's outside every gig. And he's begging a fucking guest list in. So we give him one. And he comes in. And we're in the rave. I'm never going to fucking try and pretend I'm anything I'm not. It's not a busy night. We haven't got as many punters as I would like.
It was still really
good. There's
still
a few people in there. We're having a nice gig. Yeah. And he's in the front row of the gig.
Front row?
On his fucking phone.
The whole time.
Not even listening.
It's so off-putting for someone.
The light pollution. Alone, like you're just like, what the fuck? I bring you in. Yeah, your mind.
Because like, what people
these guys
don't
understand that how, like, the distance that they are from your foot.
Yeah, yeah.
The position that they're stood at on the ground when you're up on a stage.
I know
how easy it would be to kick them in the face.
That's the thing.
It's not going to hurt your foot like a punch would hurt your hand. They don't understand that.
They don't understand. That's the thing that, like, even before we decide what kind of capital punishment these people deserve, you know, even at my launch, you know, there was someone at the front that would just kept talking and turning their back and not, like, particularly intentionally, but turning their back and talking to someone else. But people don't realize that even if there's X amount of 100 people in there, you know, like... I can still see that that's happening.
Yeah,
it still puts me off.
A lot of people watch live performance like they watch TV.
Yeah,
and you almost can't blame them because of what they're raised on, how they're raised to enjoy entertainment.
Mm.
And unfortunately, like for comics, it's super blatant. For rappers, you know, it's still really blatant, but it's masked by the music and the additional noise that you have in a musical gig. But yeah, people really don't clock their rudeness. I had it, in fact, again, you were there. We were in Huddersfield.
Mm.
We had a great crowd.
Great crowd.
That little room. Do you remember them two women down the front row? And they were just fucking screaming above the music.
Yeah.
And at one point I had to confront them. You know,
why were they doing that?
And I was just like,
just go somewhere else.
I literally said, and this was like the most politest thing I think you could say to someone who doesn't seem to give a fuck that you're working.
Mm.
I said, there's a little beer garden thing there.
Mm.
Like, just go out there
and
finish your conversation.
So easy.
That's literally all you have to do. So and they wouldn't do it. They took offense to me suggesting that they should stop screaming. Literally screaming, because you had to. The sound system was banging. You had to scream above the music to be heard.
Yeah, it was pretty loud.
They took offense to me saying, maybe finish
they
your conversation.
So I think the capital punishment they deserve, either vocal cords being ripped out and then being beaten to death, or In a nice way, they just get banned from ever going to a live show ever again by anyone, and then also beating to death.
It's got to be
murder in there somewhere.
Murder's got to be in there somewhere. I would say they have to form like a human mattress in Boris Johnson's flat.
Oh, that's disgusting. That just made me feel sick. Oh, fucking!
All they've got is just like a little sheet over the
tiny,
top of them.
A tiny sheet. Like so the ghosts combine. Can't. The ghosts can get them.
Yeah.
This is a callback to last week's episode where if you haven't listened to it, and why are you listening to part two? Sorry, this is really pissing me off. This has really pissed me off now. Why are you listening to just part two when there's a part one 7 days ago that this is what it's attached to? And there's all these in jokes. There's all these things that we're referencing back to. I'm talking about, you know, why I have to wear boxers when I go to sleep, and why ghosts really want to get to my dick, but they can't because if I'm wearing boxers. Under the patio. Next question. This is not related. You won't necessarily understand this, but you can at least appreciate the reality of the scenario. Because I've been there before. Because you're not on dating apps. You're a taken human being. You know, you're not experienced that life, but you can appreciate that I am and I have been.
Mm-hmm.
People that screenshot you on dating apps,
right,
and then send you or their friends the picture of you on the dating app. Can I just be a scumbag in peace? I feel like it's like, why are you screenshot? Are you trying to shame me? I'm just out here. You know, I've got two things on my profile, right? I've got two things on my Bumble or Hinge or Tinder, whatever one it was that I'm on. I rotate when I'm feeling up to it emotionally, spiritually, mental health wise, time wise. You know, I've got two things on my profile. One is truffle oil on everything.
Gay.
No, I said okay.
Oh,
I
said gay. Oh, they said gay. Okay.
It's not gay.
Okay. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Two. The Jason Statham. Basically, Jason Statham who's let himself go a bit.
Yes.
So those are the two things I've got on my profile. That is it. That's all I've got on there. And no other information on me.
Nice.
And obviously,
that's a good starting point. It shows you got humor.
Yeah.
And then obviously you got the picture of yourself, so they can decide whether
they could decide whether
you're their kind of,
or whether
I hairy back.
Do I like, that's the only thing I'm hiding from them. The hairy back. But why are you screenshotting me? You know, don't screenshot me. And then I've had people say, oh, I can see you on there.
Okay. I suppose a big question. You've never done that.
Only once. When I saw a girl on there and in her profile, it said she was, I'm taking a beat there because I can't even stand to say what I'm about to say.
Okay,
a white girl. She goes in her profile. She said, I'm a blackophile. A blackophile.
Wow.
A blackophile. That's not even a word. See, he's shocked.
Oh my God.
He's shocked. He's shocked.
I'm genuinely taken aback.
He's shocked. I don't even want to say it again. I've said it like three times. That is insane. And I took a screenshot of it, not even of her, because I was like, I didn't know that was a word.
Someone needs to be dealt with. I did. What the fuck?
What the hell? What in the hell? Wow. Okay, well, you know.
Okay.
It doesn't even deserve. So apart from that, people that, you know, don't shame. You might even say don't kill them. You can just be like people that take a screenshot of me. They're like, da da da, I've got nothing to hide. You know, I like women. You know, I like to talk and have chats.
I don't think any physical harm should come to these people. I kind of get the thing of like screenshot and like you show your girlfriends like, this is the guy that's on me right now, what do you think, blah, blah. I kind of get that.
Okay
You know, there's an element of stealing like a little bit of your soul, but then at the same time, once you're on the apps, it's kind of you're kind of putting yourself out there, man. I think I can let that one slide. Right.
Okay, well, you know what? Fine. Maybe I should need to stop being rude to people that have screenshotted me, and you know, I should just be. You're right. I should own it. Are you okay for time? Do I need to wrap up? I can take this out. Don't worry.
Yeah, I've got like I don't know, maybe 15.
Oh,
I've
that's fine. Right. Oh, that's
I've got to take a piss.
All right, we can do that now. Don't worry. Curb's out in January. The last season was pretty shit.
It feels like it's just done. Do you know what I mean?
Of course it's done. It should be over.
Like he feels really old now as well. I don't really like him dating.
No, I know. It's weird. Like it's the Woody Allen thing, isn't it?
Just,
it's like,
I
why
feel like it's just you, done.
Who
like,
writes characters? Yeah.
Like so, even Leon feels old now.
Leon
feels old.
Like,
just allow it.
Do a different thing.
Feels like a 58-year-old black man like doing 25-year-old black man things. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
So what happened here? We just took a mid piss break real quick. So no, we're just talking about Curb. He complimented my spice rack. We've got a good spice rack.
Comedy show that I can remember in decades.
Look, it's great when it's best. So it's why best. Just leave it. That's so all the best shows. Just leave it at the top.
Because what do they need? What do they need? What does he need? He doesn't
more
need
money? No, write something else.
No, it can't be about money anymore.
No,
Corinne.
Write something
it can't
else.
Be. It
no,
has
I know,
to be
I know,
about
I know.
Him feeling like I'm still the king of comedy or I'm still important because he's got Seinfeld. He didn't even need to do Curb.
I know, that's the mad shit.
So he did Curb and it was brilliant kind of because of that.
Of course.
Because he showed you that he's such a fucking don of comedy. That he could do a show where he didn't need to do the show.
Yeah.
And it was almost about, part of it was about the fact that he didn't need to do the show.
Yeah.
And it was still a fucking great show. Yeah. That's fucking genius.
Because
most comedy works off of hardship.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to hang out with Larry David and just and know what he does daily. You know what I mean? What is he doing every day?
I think he's a great dad. I think I think he's very focused on his family, which obviously you don't get from Curb at all because he made a decision early on not to have children in the show because of the complications around children getting older and blah, 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 blah. It keeps it simpler and it helps you believe in his asshole nature.
Mm.
But obviously in real life, he isn't an asshole. He's a good dad and a good husband and blah, blah, blah. So I think a lot of his focus is probably on family, and I think he probably spends a lot of time helping out other writers in like pinpointing issues around comedy and whatnot. And the rest of the time, probably just fucking enjoys. I mean, he's a multimillionaire.
I'm really enjoying this rundown of what Larry David does day to day.
No idea.
No, this is not. I like it. I like
based on anything.
So we're still doing Under the Patio. We've got about like 8 minutes left, obviously, before we have to roll. This is a good one for you because you'll get what I'm saying, even though it's in a very drunk and unadhered way that doesn't make any sense. Okay. You'll know what I'm talking about. People at ad agencies that think doing some racist or dumb controversial shit in an ad campaign... Oh, he's angry. As a second slam. People at agencies that think doing some racist or dumb controversial shit, racial shit in an ad camp drunk, in an ad campaign is a good way to sell, products.
What?
What?
I feel like you said loads of the same words in different orders.
I did. I.e. when that time the gourmet burger kitchen started doing a curry way with guy on Brick Lane telling people they don't know what real curry is. What do you think about that?
That shit needs to fucking die. I mean, everybody involved needs to die.
Yeah, I know.
There's moments where those guys just get way too confident.
Too
with
confident,
they get
too comfortable.
Too cocky, and there's no one in the room who will go, dude, this is fucking
Yeah, it's because fucking
wrong.
Giles from Reading has got a fucking internship because his rich parents meant that he could. And that's no disrespect to anyone that's grown up with money. You can still have a lovely, fruitful life and do your thing. But I'm saying that
there's
like,
no excuse.
It's the privilege
for
when you do not check
there's no
your own
for you where
privilege.
You're in that room and you go, actually, you know, I remember my brother and Leon, like, I feel like this would have pissed him off. Mm. That's that moment, that little tiny little feeling you get. You've got to be brave enough to go, I don't really know what I'm talking about here, but I just feel like this is wrong.
Yeah.
And nobody fucking does that.
No one checks them.
No one does that.
They left unchecked. Going to Brick Lane and saying you're doing curry wrong. We're doing curry. That's the name I wish I had. curry the right way. Like I think we should choke them to death, or with a very strong chili.
That would be.
We should get like all of the strongest chilies in the world and just get them.
I think the thing is right. The thing is right. If there's some element of your culture that maybe some members of your family or not even your family, maybe some people who share the same culture that you've never even met, have managed to make some kind of living from. You haven't, but it's a part of your world. Like when people just take that and run with it, you don't know who the fuck they are, they're not connected in what way soever, and nothing about it rings true. If there's this cold shiver you get down your spine when that shit happens, and unfortunately, even in 2019, what could really make the difference is a person from that unconnected world, from that privileged world that doesn't know anything about the culture that they're fucking stereotyping. For someone from that world to go, nah, this is fucked. That would actually have way more strength than a person who spent their life hocking curry on Brick Lane. You know, from that background, it would actually have so much strength, it's sad to say, if someone from that industry just went, this is fucked, and it's happening all the time.
All the time.
I see it all the time.
All of the time.
I don't have any Indian friends. I just know that it's wrong. That would be really strong.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? It'd be really powerful.
It's empathy. It's the lack of empathy. It's the
That's what it is. It's empathy.
The recognition of
seeing that person going, the recognition I don't know what it is, but it feels wrong.
It sounds like some
you'd love that.
Sounds like some Tory shit to me. So okay, we're doing quick ones before we wrap this up. Super quick ones. Super duper duper.
This pod has been sponsored by Momentum and the Labour Party.
I also like the double meaning of what you said, Momentum, there, because obviously it's the Labour related momentum, but going super quickly. Sponsored by Momentum.
Momentum.
All right. People say he just has the balls to say what we're all thinking. I got the right.
Dude,
I should have stopped the accent.
Who is this guy?
Okay, people say he just has the balls to say what we're all thinking, but you know what?
Sure.
Actually,
Patron.
He's just racist. And the second bit is me. What I'm saying. So it's people just say he's got the balls to say what we're all thinking, and I don't think that's true. You know what? I'm going to take that. I don't even think it's funny. I don't even think it's funny. I'm going to leave it in because I've said I'm going to take it out. And I think me not saying it's funny is meta, and it's funny. So
meta. Shout out to Meta.
Big up Meta. Big up whoever. You know what? Shout out Ryan Reynolds, regular listener.
Shout out Ryan Reynolds, right butt cheek. Hairless.
I'd eat Mackie off that. Here we go. People who constantly call you about insurance. The actual people and the companies that make them do it. I've had every day. Have you been involved in you've been involved in an accident? No joke. Let me just. I'm a couple of Patrons in. I'm a couple vodkas in. Let me just say this. No joke. I actually take this back. I'm arguing against my own self from a previous past because I like sometimes they call because if I see it and I'm having a bad day. I am really excited to vent all my shit on them.
And
I wait, and they call me up and they say,
you can just
hi,
learn to
hey, we're da 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 da. We're calling about if you had a car accident recently,
if you got missold
PPI or blah blah blah. And I go, and I wait a second. I stroke my chin, you know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, let's go. All right, here we go. And I go, and I just go in. I'm like, bruv. Do you think I've got a car, bruv? And I just go, I don't even know what they're going to say to that. And I'm like, you know what? I'll answer for you. I don't have a car. What gives you the, when you start going like when you pointing to the air when no one's there?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you know shit's going. Shit's going wild.
You gotta relax.
Yeah, there's no relaxing. I'm there in my room, walking around. I'm in my boxes because I'm protecting my dick from ghosts from the night before. I get really angry, and I think they should go onto the patio.
Yeah, I mean that one is an interesting one because I think whoever organizes it 100% needs to be buried under slabs of concrete. Yeah. But the individuals themselves, I think it's a hard life for these motherfuckers that just get hung up on and abused when they're just making the cold calls. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think they want to do it. So I feel for those guys. But yeah, those calls drive me up the fucking wall, man. They really do.
They really do.
And insurance companies as a whole as well really do my fucking nut. Mm-hmm. Because insurance, if you really break it down, what is insurance? It's extortion.
Extortion. Yeah.
It's old school mafia extortion.
Yeah, it's protection. Let me.
It's a protection racket.
Back in case you. Hey, something goes wrong.
Hey, whoa. I see you got yourself a new little car there, huh?
Hey, whoa.
Yeah, it looks like a beautiful car.
Hey,
I'm just saying, you know, something might befall you.
It'd be a shame if somebody.
It'd be
were
real
to,
shame
know,
if something might
know.
Fucking happen to you. You know what I'm talking about? Just, all right. And then you call them. And they don't fucking cover anything that you're asking for anyway. It's a racket. So I guess in short, yes, 100% put these motherfuckers under the patio, but like the minions, let them slide.
Let them slide, man.
Let them slide. True. Okay. For they know not what they do.
Okay, we can do one more. Just literally one more. That is it. And I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to see which ones I've done in previous episodes. Here, you know, literally just one more. I've got some people put their shoes on the bed. People know that we've done that before.
That's fucked up.
They should die. People that go in blackface. We've done that already on different episodes, and they should. We already know they're gonna
die.
Ben
Cook. Fuck Ben Cook.
Who's that?
Yeah, you was fucking there. I laid into him at the A&R Awards.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
He
okay.
fucking went up dressed as Run DMC.
And I had to ask the young woman that was sat next to me. Okay, well, you know what? Actually, this is a really good one because you're the only person in the world that will ever understand this. It's the final one. Because you know what? After season 3 is done, I'm not doing Under the Patio anymore. So this is the final one. That and I might have one more episode, so it's not the final one.
Okay.
But if
so
I have
like
one more episode,
which one of us should go under the pay?
Yeah, which one of us? The final answer. People that call you
people
that call you big man when they're trying to get past you. Big man. What are you? What are you? Is that?
I think I let them slide unless they put the hand on my waist. You know, the big man and the push you to the side.
Oh no, because that's very condescending. They're saying big man, but what they mean
saying
is
you're the bigger man, and you're pushing the smaller big man to the side to get to where you got to go.
Condescending. I don't like that.
What about people who, if you're in a position, and I think. I'm not going to judge you, but I know I've been on both sides of this coin.
Mm.
It's a gig band you really want to see.
A gig band,
It's a gig.
It's a gig band.
It's
a
gig. Pause. It's a band you really want to see.
I love going to gig bands.
You're down the front. You've been there from earlier with your boys. Mm-hmm. Got your drinks in. Got your smoke on.
Oh,
you're
happy.
You got your position.
Fantastic.
The venue fills up. It's body to body now.
Yeah.
It's a popular gig band.
It's the most popular gig band around, actually, right now.
One of the biggest gig bands. And then, you know, first song hits.
Yeah.
Everyone's jumping about doing their thing. Whoa. And then song ends. Gig band says, welcome. You know, and they do the little speech.
Thank you, we've been gig band.
Everyone's still. And then these fucking rowdy guys come bouncing through the crowd to get ahead of you. They just arrived at the venue.
Oh, what?
They've barged through about fucking 3,000 people to get down to the front where you are. And now they're barging in front of you.
Christ.
Where'd you place those people?
Oh, fucking are they under the patio. That's where I place them.
And have you ever done it?
Have I ever, pushed past people?
Yeah, have you been the guy?
I've pushed past people when I'm inside of the crowd and I'm trying to get out. If I'm having
panic
attack.
No, that's fine. I'm
trying to get out.
We do the Moses for those people.
Yeah, I know.
I'm talking about the cunts who come in.
Yeah, no, I hate them. No, I hate them. I haven't ever done it inwards. I've only done it outwards. Much like the eating that I would do off Ryan Reynolds. Unhaired behind.
Shout out Ryan Reynolds. Every time. Regular listener.
Regular listener, Ryan Reynolds.
Former regular listener.
Former regular listener. What I really want to know is when he stopped listening. You know? That's what I want to know.
I think I could pinpoint it.
Really? Do you think it was this episode? Do you think it was, or do you think it was season one? Well, apparently everyone's got an inside joke where they know Ryan Reynolds stopped listening.
But big up Ryan.
Big up former rough rider Ryan Reynolds. Big up him, man, for listening.
And you know.
It's dark, but hell. Thank you so much to my regular guest, Ryan Reynolds. And thank you so much to my guest, Doc Brown.
Thank you.
For being the guest.
I think the job's been achieved. I don't remember anything I've said. And I'm
I
lean,
don't remember.
Which
but
is
also,
how
the
this
best thing is,
always ends.
We haven't said anything libelous.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I'll send it to
we'll
you.
We'll have a listen.
Fine, we'll have a listen. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Be good to yourselves and each other.
Love you guys.
Take a photo. If you didn't do it last week, take a photo of someone, your significant other, and get someone famous to take
it
for you.
If you see a famous person, please ask them for a picture and then make that picture of you and your mate that you're with.
Yeah, get them to take
it's
a photo.
It's fucking class.
Perfect. All right. Big up. Thank you to Doc Brown, Ben Bailey-Smith. I have been your host for the Thanks for Trying podcast. I am Corin, the last skeptic. I don't know why I said that like a robot. Thank you, everyone, for listening this season. Nice little short season to keep you fed, keep you addicts alive. If there's any guests you want to see on next season, just at them, tell them, pressure them into it. I'm going to get some shit popping. Keep on streaming, keep on loving each other, be good to everyone, don't kill anyone, okay? Under the Patio is purely fictional, don't do it. I'm saying that for any FBI people listening, this is not instructional. Big love to you and Happy New Year.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.